Hello, friends. I'm trying out a different format this Sunday. I'm going to be working through the gospel that we have heard. If we've been to Mass, that gospel is Matthew 13, verses 24 through 43. And I'm going to focus on the first parable that Jesus gives in today's gospel. This fascinating and rich and symbolic text of the parable of the weeds. So just a reminder of what this parable is all about. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds in that field and then leaves. And they don't notice the weeds until they start growing along with the wheat." The slaves, the servants, notice this and they go to the master and say, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?" The master reveals that it was an enemy. And so the slaves then ask, "Well, do you want us to go and pull the weeds up?" And he replies, "No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them." So they're going to wait until harvest time when the harvesters will separate the wheat and the weeds. The weeds will be burned and the wheat will be harvested. So, very, very interesting. We've been hearing the past few weeks from Jesus' parables, and we will continue to hear from Jesus' parables in Matthew's gospel. Last week, we heard the very famous parable of the sower at the beginning of Matthew chapter 13. Today we have kind of the last part of Matthew chapter 13, and in it, Jesus gives us a number of parables, all helping us to understand what the kingdom of heaven is like, and that's how this parable begins today. "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field." Now, with parables, there's always something that's familiar about them and always something that's kind of strange about them. So Jesus uses images and situations that would have been familiar to his listeners. He was living and preaching in an agricultural society, so he uses lots of agricultural imagery. And that's great for us, frankly, who live in a farming community or who grew up in farms, because we know what it's like to plant crops. And we know what it's like to pull weeds, the main imagery of today's gospel. So I guess what I'd really like to focus on is how what's happening in this parable when the slaves discover that there are weeds growing along in the wheat. And what I think is fascinating is how Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like this, with weeds growing along the wheat. In other words, bad coexisting along with the good. And if we think of the implications of this, this helps us to understand our experience of human organizations, including the church, here on earth. The kingdom of God, as it manifests itself on earth, is always marked by the presence of the bad along with the good. And this is good for us to hear, because sometimes we can become discouraged when we experience the bad in our parish, for instance, or the bad in the church, this bad actor in the pews, this bad actor in the sanctuary, this bad bishop, or if we read the history of the church, this bad pope. Throughout the church's history, there's always been the presence of the bad. And that goes back to the very beginning. If we think about those 12 that Jesus gathered around him, there too, the good and the bad. One of the 12 would be a traitor. So it's good for us to see this, that the kingdom of heaven manifests itself on earth, even through institutions and organizations and groups that have bad along with the good. And if we're waiting for a perfect parish, if we're waiting for a perfect church, a perfect family, a perfect workplace, we're not going to find it because we're on earth and we won't reach the perfection that we're longing for and hoping for until heaven. So I think the benefit that we have from this parable is that by looking at the servants and the master's response to them, it really can help us to know what to do when we see weeds along with the wheat in our own lives, in the church, in our parish, in the CCW, in our card club, in our family. So first of all, we see as soon as the servants realize that there are weeds along with the wheat, what do? They bring their concern to their master. And if we follow the symbolism of the story, the servants are the children of God, the faithful, and the master is Jesus. So we, as children of the kingdom or children of our Father, when we see the weeds along with the wheat, what should we do? Bring them to Jesus. Go and tell Jesus about them. What's Jesus going to help us do when we've done this? Well, he's going to help us to know how we're supposed to respond to the weeds. And in this case, Jesus doesn't want the servants to do anything about the weeds, which is pretty interesting. It's very easy for us to fall into a sense of false responsibility. So, for instance, if you're in your workplace, or let's say you're a supervisor in your workplace, and you notice some disorder there, it's possible that you need to do something about that, but it's also possible that you don't need to take responsibility for everything that goes wrong. As pastor, I'm constantly seeing things that I would like to change in our parish. Not because it's bad. We have wonderful parish. I have so blessed with three great parishes, but no parish is perfect, and there's going to be the bad along with the good in every single organization. And I can't fix everything. I can't change everything. So this is part of the huge blessing that Jesus gives his servants, as they bring him a problem and Jesus says to them, I don't need you to fix that. And that can be so liberating when we're worked up about something that we feel like is our responsibility or our need to fix it, our problem to be solved. And this is something that Jesus can tell us in prayer that's extremely comforting. I've had this happen many times when Jesus invites me to let something go or not worry about it. Or Jesus says, you know, I'm going to take care of this and you don't have to fix it. You don't have to fix this person. I will when it's my time. Now, usually this means waiting longer than we want to. Must have been difficult for those servants to wait until the weeds and the wheat both grew up until harvest time. They must have seen those weeds 1,000 times and thought, dang it, why are they there? I wish we could get rid of them. But the master said that he'll take care of it. So I don't need to. And my job is to be obedient to the master and let him do it. So part of the benefit for the servants of their going to the master and having this dialogue is that the master assures his servants that everything is under control. He's got this. What a blessing when we go to God in prayer with a problem, and instead of his saying that I need to do something about this, when he says to me, Matthew, I've got this. I've got this. So can this be challenging? Absolutely, because we can feel this, like we said, this sense of responsibility. I'm an oldest child, and I think I have this oldest child syndrome that feels like I need to fix others or fix problems when I see them. We can have this impulse to need to fix everything. So Jesus shows us the need for patience as we are in relationships, as we deal with others, as we supervise others, as we try to love others, the need for patience. So why does God, I think this is so interesting and helpful. Why does the master tell his servants that he doesn't want them to root out the weeds? Well, it's not because the weeds are good. The weeds are indeed bad. But what's happened is that the weeds, in some ways, are parasitic upon the wheat. Their roots have enmeshed with them, and they rely so much on the wheat and they're so interconnected that by uprooting violently the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with it. So it's not just God, the master isn't just saying to the servants, like, don't worry, I got this, but he's saying, don't worry, I've got this, because this is really delicate work. An expert is needed here. Delicacy is required. So this goes against this overly aggressive approach that the servants want to employ when they see the evil there in with the good. Is their desire good? Yes, their desire is for the evil weeds to be uprooted. Great. But the master's saying, actually, this requires an expert touch, a lot of delicacy, lest we destroy the good along with the bad. So this spring, my dad was helping my mom with her garden. My mom's an extraordinary gardener, and my dad is her laborer in the garden, and he was doing some weed spraying in the garden, and he accidentally sprayed her sunflower plants. And so here's an example of when trying to take care of the bad, the good ends up being hurt in the process. Now my dad can say to my mom back, well, honey, the sunflowers are weeds. I spray for the sunflowers to get them out of my fields. But, you know, my mom's perspective is different. She thinks they're pretty in her garden. So my dad, inattentive, destroyed the good along with the bad in that situation. Bishop Barron's homily this weekend I thought was really instructive. He used this great analogy with certain medical procedures that we have and the delicacy that's required. For instance, like when someone has a cancer diagnosis or if they have a cancerous tumor, I'm sure every instinct in that person's body, thank God I have not had to experience this myself, but I'm sure every instinct in that person's body is like, get it out of me. Get the cancer out of me. I don't want this cancer growing within me. It's understandable. But that cancer is parasitic on a healthy organ that I need, on healthy tissue. If the doctor simply goes in and rips out the cancer, what's going to do? He's going to take a lot of healthy tissue and organ with him. And the problem is going to be worse than it was. So doctors have to be very delicate. This is why a person might need to get radiation treatments in order to shrink the tumor. And then the surgeon can go in and really delicately sever the cancerous tissue from the healthy tissue trying to maintain as much good, healthy body tissue while extracting the bad. So a very deft hand is needed in order for that surgery to be successful. And brothers and sisters, I think this is exactly what Jesus is talking about, that the bad is parasitic on the good, and if we simply with aggression or violence or with inattentiveness, if we just go after the bad, we're going to end up hurting the good as well. There's so many applications for this in our life, but I think of what happens when a new pastor goes into his parish, and sometimes younger priests can struggle with this because they don't have the life experience to learn. But when as a new pastor, you're going to go into a parish and you're going to see a lot of disorder there. It's simply because every parish has disorder. There's always bad in with the good in the kingdom of God here on earth. And so the temptation for the priest can be to go in with guns a-blazing. But let's say his approach is perceived by others to be less than charitable or impatient or not respectful of the past traditions of the parish or the things that the people are used to. While perhaps ridding the parish of that disorder, you can also rid that parish of a lot of good people who were hurt and scandalized in the process. So a pastor has to have a very deft hand in dealing with the disorder and the bad that he sees in the parish. What does a good pastor do? Well, he listens to people, he dialogues, he gains the trust of the people, he accompanies the people and the parish, and tries to build buy-in as he makes changes, as he tries to write to order the disorder. In our own life too, you know, I think of situations in which we can experience false responsibility. I was thinking specifically of the situation in which maybe it's your workplace, and someone in your workplace is prone to using bad language, or someone is prone to taking the Lord's name in vain, or maybe you are often in a situation of a group of coworkers or maybe even friends who engage in gossip or who tell lewd jokes. And we can often be in these situations where we think like, well, I'm a Christian. I know that this speech is wrong and I need to point it out. I need to get people to stop talking this way, stop using the Lord's name in vain, to stop telling dirty jokes, to stop cursing. I'm a Christian. I know what's right and wrong. It must be my responsibility to fix this problem that is there in my group of friends, or to correct this bad actor who with whom I work. So I think it's very normal for us to have thoughts like that. So following the storyline of this parable, when the servant sees the weeds with the wheat, that's what happens when we recognize the sinfulness that's present there in a person or in a group. What should we do first? Bring the concern to the master. We gotta pray about it. Gotta bring it to Jesus. Now, maybe Jesus will say, I'd like you to take care of it. I'd like you to speak to this person. That's very possible. And if that is Jesus telling you that, if it's that's really Jesus's message, then he's gonna give us the grace, he's gonna give us the peace that we need to have a difficult or conversation, the courage that we need to have a difficult conversation. But it's also possible that those feelings that I need to do something about this problem, I need to fix this sinfulness in this group, it could be that we've taken upon ourselves a false responsibility, and that actually he wants to do it. So why is this so helpful? For one thing, it can be a remedy for that false responsibility. So and then Jesus helps me to remember that my responsibility is to radiate Christ love and light within my workplace. And so maybe how the Lord wants to deal with the sinfulness of this group is maybe he wants me to befriend the person who is struggling with their language or who has a dirty mouth. And maybe he wants me to develop a relationship with this person and develop a friendship that will benefit me, but that will also benefit this person. And lead and then if this person trusts me and it's still on my heart, then I can actually have a respectful conversation with this person privately, just helping this person to understand that the language that he's using is actually offensive to me, offensive to others, offensive to God. If a person trusts me, then I can talk to them about those things. And we can have that dialogue and the respectful conversation that can lead to real conversion. But what if I go in guns a-blazing? What if I'm that person who corrects people publicly and without maybe in a way that can be perceived by others to be brusque or aggressive or disrespectful? If I'm acting like a goody, like prideful or a goody two shoes around people, my correction's gonna have the opposite effect. Maybe the speech will stop, but I'm gonna lose hearts in the process. And I'm going to uproot the good along with the bad. So God is so happy to speak into my heart this very consoling word, I've got this. And if we are living a life of prayer where we're bringing the things that bother us to the Lord, he's going to be communicating to us if and when he wants us to do something about it directly. Sometimes he will, but often, he's going to be saying things to us like this: be love at your office, be a good example at your office, be an uplifting example, be an encouraging presence. When we're 11 in our workplace, people will start to notice, and conversation will start to become more elevated, more respectful. And as we grow in relationship with others, our coworkers, our family members, we'll be able to have more delicate conversations. We'll be more like the master who is able to so deftly handle this extracting the bad from the good. In the meantime, patience and trust in God, that he's got it under control. So what a blessing to be able to pray with this parable today. Let's ask the Lord Jesus to always give us the grace to bring our problems to him so that we allow the Lord to reveal to us when we've taken on a sense of false responsibility, and really give all of the problems that we see in our family, in our parish, in our workplace, in the church, which are real and which are always going to be there in a sense. There's always going to be the good along with the bad. Let's ask the Lord to give us the patience that we need and the gift of discernment that we need to know when he's asking us to act and when he's asking us to allow him to do it through our patience and forbearance. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.